That was pretty well.
I'm gonna pause the recording for a moment. Start recording. Okay, so this should be all you need to do for right now. I'm gonna make sure that Rena has a PowerPoint on her laptop so that she could project her.
Oh, is your patient?
Yes.
Matt, right?
Matt, she's in France. Yeah. So, maybe at some point we can sit down and make sure that it's both the workflow of the communication so that she can help prep for you to send the message to the patient. So, we've been over some things today. We'll make it happen after the meeting and everything. But just to make sure, like, she knows, like, when do you want the minute.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff is
going to be really
yeah.
And they will be talking about the office.
Yeah.
Hopefully this week. To say hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good meeting.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I want to stop by.
Yeah, of course. We'll be there.
Thank you.
So you're all welcome. It always is. There's always some kind of. Yeah. So now that yes. Now we have. Yes. Exactly.
I
How are you?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
You too.
How was Mexico?
It was amazing. Did you stay here?
Most of staying here, yeah. Just did some local travel. I just went to Chicago.
Oh, wow.
I'll go, it's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's chicken. Every single one so far, I said, maybe you could have gone the color.
Yeah, I know.
But it looks fresh and clean.
Really good.
So it makes a big difference to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are in the
But yeah, like the largest percentage of our awake hours of life are
right.
I know, I should say that out loud.
I did. I was spending time and I'm excited about the office.
We may still have boxes, but we're
no,
happy to receive you.
No, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know that you do that. So today, Mary Alperman is doing her presentation, and so the PowerPoint is on Rena's laptop, so it will project up there, but sorry, just so you're aware, maybe.
That's the
PowerPoint. Okay, good. It should be on.
Yep. And we do have a guest on the Zoom right now.
Members. So from our presentation, we have here.
Andy?
Here.
Becca? Here today, Alexa, Alexa, Tavia, Cinnamon, Physical Sciences and Engineering, Josh? DG?
Here.
Derek?
Here.
Nathan? Nathan, are you here? Okay, not here today, freshman schools, we have Alexa.
I'll be over there soon.
Okay, can you come and let Andy know afterward?
Yes.
Thank you. Sarah? And then, our vet, we also have some changes with the vet person, but, right, Andy?
Yeah.
And then we have, Laura, Anna, Ty, James, and Nick. Not here today, from Social Sciences, Margaret.
Here.
Mo.
Here.
I'm here. And then Woody. And for the masters, we have a new faculty member, Victoria. Caitlin will not be here today. And David from the thank you. Next on our agenda, we have a couple of minutes and we do this at the meeting where we should have gotten and your meeting package a minute from our last meeting on November 26th of 2018. Any remarks? Any, yes?
I was present. Just present.
Okay. Okay. So, there's a motion at Davis, right? To members present. Okay, there's no, I'm assuming there's no other people. Okay, the motion passes. Any other proposed changes, comments? Okay, the second. Okay, is there any steps to pass in the minute? Seeing none, the motion passes. And next we have, new business for today, and we have resolution 3 on the table, in appreciation of first quarter leadership and dedication to grad professional community at Cornell University and in celebration of the retirement as manager of the Baker Bar. Thank you guys for being here today with us. So Andy, do you want to come to that? Okay. Yes. Just to recap, the normal way that we do this is whoever sponsors a resolution, in this case it's Andy, they will come forward and present the budget of the resolution, after which you'll have a short question and answer session. And normally we'll close it at that and go to formal discussion and actual voting in the next meeting to allow for a comment period. So let's do that.
Okay. Hello everybody. On behalf of the PTSA, I'd like to present PTSA Resolution 3, which is an appreciation of this quarter's leadership and dedication to the graduate professional student at Cornell University and the celebration of the retirement as manager of the department. So the gist of this is which you don't have any attachment for me that tonight, is to acknowledge and thank Chris for her work favorite bar manager for being a pivotal figure as the cause of where I'm talking to the space in creating and harboring a strong relationship with graduate professional students in creating a wonderful community as to the farm for graduate professional students and also congratulate her on her retirement and wish her the very best in the rest of the the last loss pretty much summed it up. So, yet as well, as the graduate and professional student assembly recognizes that the man who is for the graduate and professional student community at Cornell University. And we do have Chris here, so if you could give her a round of applause for her dedication. Thank you very much for the time, have a good day.
Okay. Thank you so much. And I need you. You see, that's how you do it, thank you. And so, yeah, thank you so much. This is my brother, the work is managed to be more. We have the only good. And really. We are. We are supportive. Thank you all. Appreciate it. This is very nice. What's the cost?
Thank you.
So, if anyone who has questions or comments, remarks, this is the time to do it. Raise your hand or raise your hand and I'll recommend that I do it again. Everyone happy with it?
I was going to do the vote on the whole thing.
So, to vote on this resolution today, the day that it, you know, will need, three fourths of people in the majority of, the majority of, the voting members. So, if I can have a show of hands, you know, all voting members who are, you know, for voting for this today. We're not voting on this, just voting on voting for today. So, I'm sorry, my math is. So, yes, we can vote on this resolution today, and just because we can vote on it, it is still open for discussion. Yes. 17-02. So, 17-02-7. Yes. Sorry about that. So now we can actually go into formal discussion of the actual resolution, and if you want to change language, add something, you know, if you want to say so much that this is not enough to, you know, stress that, you know, we can attempt to do that. Otherwise, I
would just going to say, I was going to say, thank you very much. I was going to ask you about the line numbers, because they're going to be that. I don't know if the vote has a release.
Okay. There's been a motion to vote. Okay. Is there any dissent to voting? If not, please, voting members who are for this resolution, as it stands right now, please raise your hand. So we have 18-0. So with a vote of 18-0 to 6, the resolution passes. I will convey that to the best school and to the president. Thank you so much, Chris, for all your service. For more than 30 years, right? So next on our agenda is community updates. So call on the police and then update
the spending
on what has been going
on. Exactly. Andy? The only thing we can use is meeting from the middle of the
and operations?
So there is this multi-year committee on for reviewing corruption from middle states. So if you're interested in serving on the steering committee for 2 years, make sure that we're not the president for this, and the
topic. So now as of in the meal week, and I think there are three activities and the budget and the leaders actually has invited some nations from the yesterday for grants to be involved in this process. The only thing required that actually required to be in it for 3 years. So you know you're not sure you can be, you know, dedicated to experience, then you might not be able to do it, but otherwise it's flat out, you know, because I think it's really important. Appropriation.
Thank you. Okay.
I'm not sure
what
and also the offering email for with the break, with received notification from the Office of Attendees that after the meeting, so to demonstrate, this is all of the meetings scheduled for this semester. And the third one on the February 5th, actually coincides with the February break. So on the first meeting date on the 26th of February, that 25th is February day. So I guess the exact meeting is, you know, like suggesting that we should think about doing the meeting either 1 week or earlier or later, and this would be either February 15th or March 24th. So we will essentially have either before or after the February date to reflect. But other than that, you know, let anyone know. And what we also told you vote on the meeting. So, you know, we can discuss if you know which one we want to change the system, but at the end of it, I'm gonna have to make a motion to formally change the date, and then we'll, you know, I'll add it.
I would note that the great people are on the
It's important that we have a date set because that's when we have the right speakers, and we do like to give them a couple of weeks of notice. So the sooner we get this set, the better. And I know the Office of Assembly likes to have some time to order the food and to reserve this room. So for that reason, I think we need to be before that as soon as possible.
Yeah. Okay. So Alex has suggested that we take an informal vote just to see how everyone feels in the room for all the three different dates. February the 18th, February the 25th, and March 4th. Is there dissent to do that? Okay. So seeing none, let's just do like an informal sort of like, you know, voting. I want to see like, we want to see, you know, which dates people actually prefer, and that, you know, everyone in the room can vote for one.
And more than one.
Or more than one, I guess. And let's start with February the 18th. Those who would like to have a meeting on February the 18th, please raise your hand.
I noticed someone on the live channel, said she prefer the 18th.
Okay. So, 1, 2. Okay. You know, just keep it during February break. Who's for that?
25th.
The 25th of February. Okay, and those in favor of March 4th. Okay, so from looking at, you know, raises of hands in the room, it seems that March 4th is the most popular date. So what I would propose is, you know, I would entertain a motion to move the meeting date to March 4th. Yes.
So. Yeah.
Okay, so you are proposing to move the date to March 4th.
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Voting on it or dissent?
Dissent to the move to March 4th. If there's no dissent, we'll have a meeting on March 4th instead of February 10th. Is that clear? Okay. So seeing no dissent, we have moved our meeting dates from February 25th to a week later, March 4th. Thank you, everyone. We're now at open forum. And this is a chance for you, you know, if you want to say something, comment, make an advertisement for something, this is your chance. Start with saying that President Pollard is scheduled to come to our meeting again on April 8th. Please email me with suggestions of topics that you would like her to address, and I can forward this so that, you know, it can be included in her general address. Because sometimes if, you know, you come and ask questions, she might not have the answer right away, but both, you know, numbers need. So just, you know, to give her a sense of what you would like to hear about, let me know. That's my email. But otherwise, any other comments from anyone else? Hello?
So the Big Red Wine Advisory Committee is for another law, veterinary, or business. So if anyone from our reps would like to be on the board, you like to talk to the suggestions. Or if you know anyone in programs that are interested, you could email me at mfk3, and I will connect you to whoever is organizing.
MNK53.
Yes.
And the board only meets about once a semester, so very low commitment. Yes, and you also get a free lunch. Oh, yeah, free lunch. It's a yes.
Is this kind of just like a concern that I found that it's like related to, I guess, just grads interest in general? We just got our I'm 1098 T's, and I didn't get any fellowship money this year, so like I didn't expect to be taxed on my 1098 T. But I saw that my grants was in fact larger than my credits by an amount equal to our health care.
I saw that.
Yes, and without. Given the fact that our healthcare appears to be credited on a form that doesn't give you a tax abatement, it looks like if you're going to file your taxes correctly, you'll have to get taxed on healthcare, which is kind of weird. I know this is a new way the graduate school is filing within the 18th year. I'm just not sure if I can get my taxes now, or if I should accept quite a larger tax burden for the roughly $3,000 that I made in healthcare. So just putting out that out there so it's in people's minds. I think something we can probably look to the credit school for some time.
Okay, thanks for that update. Jen, did you want to address that?
I don't know anything about this, Karen, but this afternoon there was a meeting, and if it doesn't make today's announcement, then I expect by next week there'll be something going out explaining the change in the tax thing. And if there's a question that's more urgent or immediate than that, I'll ask Jason Hotta, who's our associate dean for administration, who may already have the answers. But I will let all the other deans know that this came up. And the person who has the most up-to-date information, if they have a synopsis or summary, well, I will send it to you, and you can send it to the membership when the report comes out.
Okay.
In case it's next week that it's in Monday announcements.
Okay. So let's keep a lookout on that on the red announcements, but also we will follow up on that.
If there's something to send out sooner, I'll do it.
Okay, thank you. I have Nate, and then Dietrich, and then.
Yeah, I want to follow up on taxes because it's like something that we've talked about every year about this topic. And instead of waiting until late February or March to start looking at it now, I think because a lot of us, you know, are tax. Get a little complicated with scholarships and eligibility. We're going to have our host and go on the front of the page with the tax preparers and do a question. Just a couple of things. One is make sure that you're aware of IRS free file. I think just about everyone in the room should be able to file a tax electronic free in the state and federally. And start doing some research into how to prepare
how to go through and use the software and answer some of these questions now rather than later. Fordham University itself did not give you specific tax advice. We tried for years to be honest and things like that because of our exposure to legal liability and not paying taxes. Sometimes you won't get the straight answer you want. So there's other resources available out there in the world, and if you are reviewing stuff, you can come talk to me. But start looking at that.
Can I say what I think? Although the minute should be like Jan tried to be helpful, but she doesn't know about, enough about this. I'm going to say something, but you have to fill in the rest.
Sure.
I overheard a conversation. Some student, you said start early. That doesn't necessarily mean file as soon as possible, because there's a second form that the university sends out related to summer funding, I think. Is that it?
Yeah.
And it means that a lot of students who don't realize that the second form is coming, usually after the January, end of January, when the petitions come out, thinking, you would think I don't pay taxes, I do. they don't realize there's a second form coming, and they file, and then they have to file an admitted return, and it's just a little bit of aggravation.
Yeah.
So whatever category that puts you in, is it TA? Or a fellowship. I will find out, and I will send a summary of this with all the blanks filled in. So it's good, as Nate said, think about it early, but you may not want to file until you know we have that second form.
Yeah, start going through the form, looking at the stuff. It will raise questions, you can pick the box, and you'll feel like, I don't know what this means. And that's when you need to start going into it. But if you wait until the last minute, it's going to be extremely frustrating.
So, Jen, I think what you're alluding to is something that's also specific to international students. We get this thing that is in conjunction with our summer funding, and it always comes really, really late. So, yeah, thank you for that.
I think that's right. It's the international students that ask for that. But I'll try to also put this in that summer message, too.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, but your original announcement, I missed the day of the board, I don't think that's my number, the DRB.
Is that all?
Yep.
Okay. So before I
yes, I just had a follow-up question on the taxes. Is it people who are on Cornell Health that are getting charged as income, or is it everyone who is paying a fee with their private insurance?
I'm Cornell Health. So I don't know the case for, you know, the other things, but Jen, is it possible for you to check?
It is possible for you to check. It is not possible for you to answer this question on the spot, but I'm writing it down. I'm adding it to the list.
Okay. We'll try to follow up with that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Heads or non-heads? Okay, if not, we have now division breakout. Yes, so we have division breakout. The diagram is not updated, but Andy will let me know where you should go for your division breakout. And if you're a field rep, this is where you do your roll call with your division chief. And this is really an anticipation of our guest coming today for the Cornell University mission statement. So,
after
any more on that.
So, in the division, we can talk about the core value statement. And this is a way for you to get some info on our next speaker. And you talk about that during the division. So, professional schools are only here, and that means from that side to your right. Physical science on the left side.
We go all the way.
Yeah, this is science outside, life sciences.
We're here.
And what is it? Social sciences are right on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Whatever that means.
Our library is
so
Thank you.
I would like to resume the meeting with our presenters for today. We have Mary Offerman, the VP for HR, and DJ Pendleton, Dean of Students, and they're here to talk about the Cornell University core values. Thank you
for having us. We really appreciate this time with you. I'm just going to quickly go through a few slides about core values, and then most of this time is for us to hear from you about core values, and I'll be taking notes on what you say, and Jay will move the conversation on as needed. So, just very quickly, core values are the foundation of conduct in the institution. They are consistent and they don't change when circumstances change. They are not about the work we do or the strategies we employ to do that. And the values that underlie core values are how we work and interact with each other, the strategies to fulfill our mission, how we go about our work and practices that we use every day. Core values they govern our relationships. They guide our practices and processes. They clarify who we are, what we stand for, and why we do what we do. They guide us in how to teach, how to reward, guide us in making decisions. They underpin the whole organization. So these core values, the goal is to create a set of core values that will be appropriate for the students, undergrad and grad students, the faculty, and the staff. And they should require no external justification. What they are not is they are not operating practices or business strategies. They're not cultural norms or competencies. And they don't change in response to external circumstances, not just for the individual, but also for the organization. We thought what might be helpful, and this is not because we necessarily agree or disagree, this is to show you some core value statements. They're in part just to give you a sense of the different ways that they work. So this is the University of Texas at Austin. They have, and it is typical that there is 3, 4, 5, usually no more than about 6 or 7 core values. And theirs are learning, discovery, freedom, leadership, individual opportunity, and responsibility. And you'll see that they have very short descriptions under each of those key words or phrases. To take a very different approach, this is Southwest Airlines. Southwest has much, they have 6, but you see that underneath that they describe them. And if you've ever flown Southwest, you should be able to see who they are and the way your experience is at Southwest and the way that they describe their values. So they have a warrior spirit and servant's heart. They have a fun-loving attitude. They focus on work safety, wowing their customers, and keeping costs low. Starbucks, another company. Again, they really have 3 main core values. They live these values, creating a culture of warmth and belonging, where everyone is welcome, acting with courage, challenging the schedule, finding new ways to go. And each other, being present, connecting with transparency, dignity, and respect. That's the first one. They deliver their very best in all they do, holding themselves accountable for results and their performance through the lens of humanity. So that's Starbucks. And then take a look, these are Harvard's 4 short phrases: respect for the rights, differences, and dignity of others, honesty and integrity in all dealings, conscientious pursuit of excellence in one's work, and accountability for actions and conduct. So there, you can look up if there's a place that you think highlighted, you can look up and they may very well have core values. So this is not because I think these are the best, they're just illustrative of different approaches. In terms of our next steps, right now we're having these conversations with all of the assemblies. When we are done, we plan to create a draft based on the feedback that we get. One strategy we know we will use is to put that draft on the website for the entire campus community to comment. There have been some suggestions to add some open listening and feedback sessions so for people who want to come and have their conversations. So we're thinking about that at that level. And then after we get all that feedback, we'll refine. That's all I had. It's really just a way to get us started. Again, if you think what we really want from you now are just your words or phrases, you might need to explain them. Don't worry about how you put them in. I'm going to write down everything you can and just take it from here.
All right, good evening. How's everybody doing?
Great.
We are, you are great. We are hopeful that you have. That your prep exercise, I think you broke into divisions and reflected on some documents beforehand. And so we're hopeful that that really takes the point of that, so that you have some ideas that you want to share. This is ironically a values neutral, value brainstorm. So whatever you want to share is great, because Mary's just going to be taking it down, creating a repository of these sessions that she's leading, and she's going to the different kinds of printers right now.
Yeah.
So
I had Alex.
Oh, great.
So what I think of any person, any study, I think of equity opportunity for anyone who wants to be able to be here, can be here, and will be supported once they are here.
And my job mostly is to slow down the comments so Mary can type fast enough to get everything down. So Mary, you need a nod when you're ready. Okay.
I actually have a question for you rather than a suggestion. Which you were discussing during our breakout, whether or not Cornell actually has a core value statement right now.
So I can answer that. The university does not currently have a core value statement, but in the strategic plan that went from 2010 to 2015, there actually are, I think, about 15 value statements in that strategic plan. And actually, the faculty people look at those and use those to inform their comments. So if you look at the old strategic plan that ended in 2015, you'll see that embedded is quite a long list of phrases.
Thank you. So I have a logistic question. So right, you mentioned that you're going to create the draft of the core value statement and present it for people to comment and feedback. Do you have a system where we can get feedback now? Besides pointing?
So right now, this is your, we have to get your feedback to create the draft. Once we have the draft, then the idea is to put the draft on the website, maybe have a couple of more conversations. And then we'll be able to hear from this mark, if you're missing something, and that the client is like, well, you have the hardest job, which is that there's a blank sheet of paper only asking you to give us words and phrases. Once we get all those, then I think it's a little bit easier to reflect off of a draft and try to do what we're asking you to do.
Besides the one attributes that were brought up, what I liked most from our breakout was the idea of cultivating the whole person. As a book, just, you know, a scholar or someone who cares about things.
Yeah.
Okay, there were a couple of ideas that are out there for us to reflect later. But the two things I want to talk about, one was a question, which is a question. A question, yeah. So a question to discuss about importance of core values, but I was wondering if Cornell specifically has something that they're looking from the core value statement, either paragraph or something that you want to be able to do. Then,
so I need to start by apologizing. What I really should have said before we came into this is this was a recommendation from the presidential task force that came into being a year ago fall, and they recommended purpose of guiding decisions and getting an agreement on how what is important to us and how we will act towards one another, that core values be So we're driving towards it for that purpose. They're used for a lot of different things, but primarily you want to be able to tell everybody in the community what the core values, they know what kind of decision making, so that's the goal.
And so in terms of format, I think part of what you're asking is like, do we want bullets or would like narrative prose be better? I think it's really hard to operationalize off of a full page of prose, right? And so I think in the end, we're going to end up with some series of value statements that are easier than to say, okay, this is what informs our decisions. But that isn't really carved out fully yet. The places I've worked that have had value statements that have been easier to use are ones where it's like five bullets, you know?
And the one thing that helps with a lot of ours is that from lead-brand university, which a lot of the other colleges are looking at, and statements on it. But I think there should definitely be something that reflects our community engagement or the fact that we're supposed to be part of the college.
I have a meeting.
Yeah, I was going to bring up that point. Wouldn't our status as a land grant some of it fills some of this importance, and just some of that nature. I mean, for example, like ROTC, that's not really our choice. Like, there's some things that we do here at Cornell that are external. Because in your presentation, you said that these are things that really are defined by externalities. But I wonder if that's not really true, right?
So they don't change as a basis of a changing external environment. That's the point of them. They're enduring beyond external shifts. But to your point, there's a difference between whether we have taken the time to write these down and disseminate them, or whether your observations, we actually do have them and we should pull them out or we should question them. So our land grant is a great example of, you know, our public engagement, not only the state, but across the world. And that's something that most people know. I think one of you said, any person, any study. Those are the sorts of things that,
okay, you can, if I can follow.
So on the land grant piece, Nate, I think you were pointing out an example of where our land grantness makes it so we have to do something, right? So it's not, you know, our land grantness is comes with opportunities and it comes with constraints. But our land grant status is not framed as a value right now. It's framed as, it's actually illegal. Status, right? And so if you think about our land grant, you know, caveat, right? If you think about our land grant status, what value is at the core of that status that you think should be university value? Down the line, our relationship with ROTC, that's very technical and that's legalistic, but I think we can come up, you know, 30,000 feet.
Sure. And just like if I can add on, you brought up like any personal studies, that's one of those things that. I don't think is it one of the strategic, the core values already? I don't think it was, but it's the de facto kind of implied core value. So we can come up with a list, but nothing has better grading, I don't think. Okay. But what I think Cornell's done a terrible job of the entire time I've been here, they haven't defined that very well, and then it comes up in different pieces. And whatever we decide, any person, any study is going to be, it needs to be defined in that, because it's not right now, just whatever you want to be. So,
no.
Okay. So
one point that came up from our, I did technical research, and I was like, that our SU school community, before Anna March, I think they respectful. And reproducible.
What was the last one?
Reproducible. It's all related to the connected actual. Yes. Did you have more? Oh, I have Max.
Sorry.
I have Max, and then Victoria, and then.
I'm not terrible first.
I was okay. He turned to me, so I responded.
I'm second one. A lot of data sets I ever being in San Francisco Charter Day. Any person in a study, either where they ran that day or there's a wonderful video we made. Those were the three central themes. I think everyone has a gut idea when we leave, but fleshing that out and ensuring that the core value is reflected is important. Additionally, I overheard the employee assembly, I heard some rumblings, and student assembly that I brought out to get a care of a person. And to me, that, I mean, was what I went through there in high school. We had a Latin term called pure personalis, which as it is that for care of a person. And obviously, the Jesuits see it as part of their religious component, but I think there's a very strong secular history of the idea that come to Cornell not just to learn, but just not just to learn how to pray or learn especially, but also learn to personally grow as a person. And our community strives, not perfectly, but we strive to really try to take care of the whole person. So to me, the idea of pure personnel, obviously we need to unpack that a little bit, that's the that really comes to mind when we talk about care of a person, because the terms are used, that includes some very positive effects in other areas.
So I don't know how helpful this will be, but I think part of defining what something is often defining what it isn't. And I think that a lot of those aren't really distinguishable to the school. You can swap out the name and it could be this company or this school. And I think that Cornell Savings should be, I guess, distinguishable that way. And the second point is I think it should be backed by facts. Everyone has some clean sounding values on paper that, you know, diversity, inclusion, honesty, but one of the reasons why I came here for the any person any study is that in the video they said that they did their first student of color in 1868 and then their first woman the year after, which is amazing in the context of history. So since that's fact by sort of facts, I think that whatever our statement turns out to be, we should have concrete examples as we could.
That's a great point because, like, you know, for instance, Starbucks is a great statement, yet they violently shut down unions in Latin America. I think part of, like, I like Harvard's statement about accountability in the workplace, but I think we should also expand to accountability of the institution, both on campus, but also around the world. You know, there's existential things going on right now, like climate change and stuff. And so things like climate justice or anti-imperialism could be good places to draw ideas from in how Cornell both, like, directs research and also directs, say, funding, things like its endowments.
Yeah, so going off of like the sort of the, I guess, related to like that status, but sort of turning that more into like a value, I think the notion of like environmental stewardship and sustainability. And within that, really thinking both about historical things going on in terms of like the land that Cornell is built on, indigenous land that it's on, and also thinking about the future and future generations, the way that, you know, we are stewards and holding air and land and ideas, knowledge, and trust for future generations. So I think linking a historical aspect to it, but also to the land and ability. All of those good ways as well.
Thank you.
I think that there's a lot of
so something that stood out to me in marketing, and you already talked about this a little bit, but just to clarify, is I think a big part of what we say any person in study is the fact that everyone can actually study here. So the key word there is equity, ensuring that people from different backgrounds, either racial backgrounds or economic backgrounds or religious backgrounds, feel that they can get equal education at the institution.
So I'm going to go back to kind of apply core values that we already have. One is that I've seen it's much common that any person in study, but it's Cornell has been described as a private institution with a public mission. And so, although I don't think that's caught on quite as much, but like that's something where we kind of self-define a little bit what we are and kind of what we mean by that. Because part of us is private, part of us is public. What does that mean? How does that reflect on the character? And also add that I think what I'm hearing from other people that I agree with is that we should, you know, be a little more courageous with what our values are when they come up. And so you had the example, I think it was the University of Texas, and they had things like learning and discovery. And I mean, it's a terrible core value statement because we're going to do that anyway. And so this is our chance to, like, you know, put a stake in the ground and say, this is what makes Cornell Cornell. And if we come up with a weak, you know, just lazy core value statement, I think that's what we're talking about. Excellent teaching.
So
this kind of cycles back to a couple of issues, whether that be the community engagement or kind of like being a stakeholder of the global community, things like that. But basically, Cornell is a special place because it's a leader in so many different respects, right? And with leadership that comes with a degree of both responsibility for like how other people follow you and also being a vanguard for ideas, right? So I feel like we have to kind of tie those ideas in together, which is something that I can't do with it. For ideas and innovation.
Yeah, I just heard a little bit of people alluding to, I think, stuff now. Cornell is a bit more of an egalitarian nature than a lot of our IE peers. We started teaching military science, physical, engineering. This is things that are kind of our problem were not considered things that the university did not necessarily teach. And I think that has informed, I mean, I think from that graduate first grade study, I think that really, egalitarianism, what I heard from say, Cornell is an Ivy League institution that's not pretentious for the elitist. The idea that we try, aspiration, we try to be egalitarian and not necessarily as pretentious as some other institutions, unfortunately, can become and can be. And I think that's very important because it informs your history, but it also informs the trajectory of what makes Cornell different.
Anyone else on this campus? Anyone else who wants to make a comment? Andy, and then.
I don't know if it's possible, but would you guys mind sharing the keyword that has come up consistently throughout the answer?
So I can share a bit. So first of all, the making real and clarifying things that we've talked about several times, integrity. The public mission, the land grant, public engagement, that has come up strongly in several places, and also the parent community.
This was another question about the structure how this could go. I know that there's a lot of statements about Cornell, the honor statement that the honor code is also being reformed right now. And I was wondering how this relates to some of these changing statements before this after. What exactly is we're intending to survive in the coming years?
There's a lot of change happening in Cornell right now, and the timelines on these are not perfectly synced up to, all be woven together perfectly. So this will likely be iterative where things will drop at different times and then we'll have to find a way to braid them together. But the revisions to the campus code of conduct, which Matt's very involved in, and many members of the UA, particularly the CJC, are very involved in, are tied to the President's Task Force on Campus Climate Initiative. And so is this project to develop a clear set of university values. And they both come from the same place, which is how can Cornell prepare to be as successful with the next century as we have with the last century? And there are a number of things that we have to change about our ecosystem to deal with some of the complexities and tensions that our society is dealing with that are finding their ways onto our campus, right? Which always happens in our society, happens on campus. And so the desire for some values through which that can inform our decision making. And I love the point you made, I think about that all the time. What are we, but what aren't we? And how do we draw some lines? Because it's difficult to navigate and make decisions unless you have them. Similarly, our campus code of conduct, if you've seen some of the language around some of the reform, is really about making some dramatic shifts towards the code being more educational, more nimble, able to deal with issues of bias and discrimination in more nuanced ways. So all of these evolutions are tied to the same impetus, but they have different timelines because of varying levels of complexity. So I don't have hard dates on this. Do you have a hard date on this contract?
So for this contract, actually, I would have to globally need a couple days ago, and there's a few global dependent policy. In general, there's a rough draft that's trying to incorporate things in the President's Task Force. We had our own working group that came to actually quite similar conclusions. So that draft is currently, as it's percolating within the committee, editing certain parts. Our hope is to have a more concrete draft around middle of February, hopefully before around February, right after President's Day. And then after that, really start working with administration and adopting it publicly so that we can have that discussion and have the listening and really try and do, because a lot of it came out of people said, well, code should reflect Cornell values.
Yes.
But what are Cornell values? So they're not usually exclusive. I know there's a lot of interest, including parts of core values into the code. And that's because it is, you want to have a guiding document. And it's not, they're not usually exclusive. They don't use it back. And so they're working in parallel. They're not going to document that.
But part of what we would love to be able to say that we have a self-value by the end of this semester. But I'm nervous about saying that in absolute because, you know, people haven't even, they don't even have a draft yet. People haven't had a chance to think about it. So if the draft is generally reflective of what people think the value should be, we can easily be done and agree on it by the end of the semester. If the draft ends up missing the mark in a few ways,
that's right. So I just wanted to follow up. I'm actually part of CDSB and I haven't really heard about these core values right? So I was also just curious, like, if there are plans to kind of formalize this notion of them all happening at the same time soon and making sure that we have a couple of things going forward from meetings like this.
Right. So there was a lot of really great stuff in the presidential task force, but that's where the president each of these, and that included the commitment that this year for values, and it included the work on the president. Nate, Matt, and Eric.
I noticed also in the example that was presented, you mentioned integrity or something in the workplace. Quickly, and I think there's we should definitely have this conversation about, you know, your core values applied for acting in the capacity of students, graduate students, TAs, or faculty, or does it seep into our personal lives and not yet?
This is actually a question. First of all, thank you for presenting and doing this. My question is, outside of this, going to the assembly, et cetera, is there anything that these individuals or the assemblies can do to help you in this process as it starts to come forward and really starts to hopefully or be done as quickly as you can hopefully?
So that's actually where the suggestion came from. Is our original intention was to get a draft, listen to all of you, put up a draft, and get people to comment on the web. So one of the things that we heard in the public is that you probably ought to also use some room for people to have more discussion as opposed to just putting it up on the web. And so that I thought was really helpful because maybe that, you know, that those conversations smoothly, and we're there, and we're wordsmithing. If we're really missing it, it could be really difficult to either learn that or react to it if the web is the place. So that was, I think, a really helpful way, and not just get stuck, right, grabbing and redirecting. But so I think we're going to put a couple of listening sessions in there to get the draft. We'll put it up on the web first so we can see it, and then maybe we'll go. Caitlin?
I have a question. I'm wondering how this statement, once it's produced, is going to be kind of action. So how does it go from being a statement to something that's actually used, something that in a lot of, I study organizational design, so in the hearts and minds of everybody interacting with this community?
So it's a great question, one that's come up, and one that we're still kind of thinking through the practical application of that, because that is our workforce, right? It's for everybody. But one of the things that we wanted to do is make sure everyone who really gets it and has a chance to talk about it, so that would be every new employee, obviously everybody who's already looking at every new employee, every student, and then some conversation about how do the real underlying of a set of values help you in times that are, that you have to make a decision. How do we use it in a way, in small ways, that to help us frame decision? So that's the goal. We can't get to that point if people don't know that it's there. So the idea is that I'm looking at that we can share, make sure everybody has it, because it's just an integrated ask question, how to understand.
I think, you know, and I don't know what our process is going to be to operationalize these values, which is really where the rubber hits the road. But I've worked at a place, at an institution of higher education, that had a very clear set of values that definitely informed the way people made decisions. And in coming to Cornell, I've only been here 2 years, but I think Cornell time, that makes me a new staff. A lot of people put a lot of years in here. But I thought I had an expectation of what the operational ethos was going to be like coming into a private school, because I associated, in my own limited human experience, a private school with being mission and values driven in a very specific way. And I got here. And that's not actually how Cornell operates. The ethos is very diffuse here, and it feels a lot more public. And there's upsides to that. But when it comes to tough decision making, I know there's many rooms Mary and I have been where it's, you know, what do you go to? You know, where's the bright line? And it's super helpful. When I was at DePaul University of Chicago, it's a Catholic school, so there was just a very clear set of values. Now, we can have problems with those values, but in the moments of administrative decision making, they're there, you know. And it's reflected in the code, for example, you know, conduct. It's reflected in budget decision making. During the, I was there for the 2008-2009 crash. How do you cut when you have to cut if you don't have values? You know, so there are so many ways in which once those values really become woven into the DNA of a place, that they actually do become a guiding document. As weird as that sounds, to have something like as emotional as values be a guiding document, but those are the best guiding documents.
How about economic management is something that we're supposed to be included? So like now, like you're already educated individuals and people like you. And should be proactive, even if you're on site school or outside school, do something to look at the role. Down the like social problems, by any case, that by the way, if other problems by entrepreneurship should be more opportunity, not like fighting this climate change.
So, like we're just saying, like sometimes my values are important, they're not sometimes like the right value. That word, but I was wondering if there's something we can put in where, like, every 5 years you map the reasons to stop, you're not stuck with core values that you made years ago, where, like, you know, maybe they don't reflect who we are now.
No.
Something in the operationalization stuff.
Okay, I have a question.
No one said it, I just want to put it like shared governance or participatory kind of nature.
Yes, and potentially, right? So one of the issue of the university not having a concise and clearly stated set of values came up during the President's Task Force process last year in a number of ways. And one of those is, what do we base admissions on, right? How come there isn't a values-based component to our admissions process other than sort of the values of rigor and competition, you know, that drive undergraduate admissions at all elite institutions? And it really comes back to what a number of people say, well, who are we, who aren't we, and how should students have to reflect on that in their application process so that we're choosing for fit. And that is, many private institutions have values components in their admission process. So I would be surprised if down the line that wasn't a conversation at the institution. And that's actually the genesis of one of the threads of how values discussion got started in the country.
Yeah.
So yeah, so kind of on the, I like the idea of things being like iterative, being more consistent. And I'm wondering if we can build in or have some kind of structure in which there's someone or we feel in which, like the way in which we are, if we make a decision that conflicts with the values that we put out, if there's a way that people can sort of submit a submission or a comment or something on that. Yeah, so that we can, you know, have some kind of oversight on our values.
I'm going to exhaust this.
this during the breakout, but I like the idea of thinking of Cornelium as independent thinkers, both in terms of having like courageous and transformative ideas academically, but also in terms of not just applying and going along with that.
So this is kind of repeated some things people have said, but I didn't hear it explicitly stated that Stephen at Cornell is a community. So the keyword being like a community both with the institution and with the surrounding like the community and like a broader community, this sort of thing. In particular, the fact that we the point is, this was brought up here in the meeting, so I was parroting what other people said, I think it's good, is that people actually care about each other and are able to interact with each other and keep ourselves healthy as a whole through these interactions.
Yeah, I agree with you very much so. And keeping code of why I came to my house, people are here. So, as ironic as it is, I think that's a very important.
Hearing pieces from a lot of and that there are sort of serious implications for that. So this sort of like acknowledgement of privilege inherent in attending and sort of being combated in persons like this, or is sort of what that privilege enables as well, professional reflection, or maybe to have some. So we just very. Oh yeah, what the privilege of being on a campus like this. Any other last questions or comments? Oh yes.
I think maybe you just brought up that it'd be great. Cornell with pleasures, not pleasures, sorry, it's privilege. To be able to work to have the value of being supposed to be in every.
Okay. So I think we have exhausted the speakers for real. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you. And I believe the only other thing left on our agenda is adjournment. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.